We welcome you to a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. The subject is Guide to Christian Growth, and your instructor is C. Ernest Tatham, one of the founders of the Emmaus Bible College. Yes, this is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible and discover what God has to say to us through His Word.
Hello, Christian friends. Today we've come to lesson number 10 in our series on Guide to Christian Growth. The lesson concerns the very intriguing subject of love and courtship. And I suppose it's safe in saying that here is an area that concerns practically all of us. We're all interested in this subject. Now, perhaps it should not be necessary to remind our hearts that we're living in days of very, very loose standards. As a matter of fact, I sometimes think when I look out upon our modern society as though, as if the standards of Christianity have all but disappeared. The Word of God has a great deal to say on this subject of love and courtship and also the Christian home, which will occupy us the next time we're together. Marriage and the home comprises lesson number 11. I say we're living in days when Christian standards have all but disintegrated in this country, and very, very loose views are held in the area in the matter of behaviorism and conduct between the sexes. Loose living and sexual abandon and licentiousness abound everywhere, and we're made painfully aware of this. Now, if we name the name of Christ, then we're enfranchised to Him, as it were. We've come under His yoke. He is our Lord, and His Word is authoritative and final. And so I thought we might today begin our little study together by glancing at two texts, one in the Old and one in the New. The Old Testament passage is the well-known Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's very necessary, I feel, that we should be familiar not only with this text so that we can quote it by heart, but also put it into daily practice. Acknowledging our Lord in all our ways, and then we can depend upon Him to order our steps for His glory and our good. The New Testament text is the well-known 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then, if I may be permitted, I'd like to just add 1 Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only, notice this qualification, only in the Lord. Now, the lesson today concerns some very, very practical areas of the matter of love and courtship. We're all interested, I say, in this subject. And while you and I never chose our parents, and we did not choose the country in which we were born, and we had no say as to our dispositions and so on, when it comes to the matter of a life partner, we do make a choice, and we're responsible to make a choice that is going to be to the glory of God and to our spiritual and physical betterment. And so a great deal hangs upon this choice that we make. The Bible says that God setteth the solitary in families. And right at the beginning of creation, when the Lord God looked down upon Adam in his loneliness in that Garden of Eden, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And it's very delightful to notice that the Bible begins with a wedding, and it ends with a wedding. There's a wedding right on the threshold of the Bible, and the Lord God himself was the one who brought the bride to the bridegroom, and he was the one who solemnized the marriage and gave it his sanction and blessing. And then, of course, at the end of the Bible, we read of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride, the church, who is swept up into a wonderful new eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus as the heavenly bridegroom. In between those two termini, we meet such happy couples as Deborah and Barak, Isaac and Rebekah, Ruth and Boaz, and Priscilla and Aquila, and so on. And so this whole subject is delightful, and yet it is very serious indeed. Now, I believe that in the main, it's very desirable to marry. Marriage is honorable in all. And going back to the first wedding, we read these words in Genesis chapter 2 concerning Eve. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now notice those words. God brought her unto the man. And the scripture confirms that by saying, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And the in connection with Eve, we read that Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest me. So that it's evident that the man should take the initiative on the human level, and that the Lord so arranges circumstances that he brings the right girl to the right man if we leave that final choice to him. Now, it goes without saying, I hope, that no believer should marry an unbeliever. The Christian is definitely limited. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And one of the most binding yokes that one could contemplate is the yoke of marriage. And a yoke, of course, is that which binds two persons, two or more persons, in some common objective. And the marriage yoke is limited, then, to two believers. Or, on the other hand, to unbelievers. But we're thinking of Christians today. So, Christian, you and I are limited to marry only in the Lord. That is, I take it, a spiritual believer and one who is subject to the Lordship of Christ. Now, I repeat, if a mistake is made here, it's a tragedy, not for one person, it's actually a tragedy for two persons. And it's going to either transform or deform. May I just suggest, first of all, a few don'ts? I think that these might be well worth considering. First of all, don't forget that the Lord is our guide and we can count upon Him. He wants to make us supremely happy. Let us not get the idea that the Lord is holding back on us and is out to trick us or short changes. He wants us to be happy. And if we take our circumstances out of His hands, then we're virtually saying, Lord, I can make myself happier than you can. We must not forget the promise that He will direct our paths if we acknowledge Him in all our ways. In Proverbs 19 and 14, I read that a prudent wife is from the Lord. And the word prudent means one who's dictated by forethought. Then again, don't be in a hurry for a steady. You hear about the fellow that, the friend that asked the young man about his relationship to a certain girl and got the answer, why, he said, I fell in love with her at first sight. His friend said, did you marry her? No, he said, I sure didn't. I got another sight of her. Exactly. I got another sight of her. You know, we should never fall in love. If we do, we may stay fallen. And then we need to beware of a false profession. Sometimes a young man, seeing that a girl has Christian principles and has certain strong convictions about Christ, will profess the same convictions in order to get her. This is the price of the marriage, and so he makes a false profession, and his religious profession soon wears off after the ceremony has been consummated. Don't be too much of a rush to marry someone who makes a sudden profession of salvation. And then don't marry anyone that you can't respect. Beware of affection that has no deeper roots than pity. There should be and there must be an attraction that is, number one, spiritual, and then mental, and then physical. Remember those three keys, the spiritual, the mental, and the physical. Now then, on the positive side, is she a real believer? Yes, I have reason to be convinced that she is a real lover of Christ. Again, is she modest and virtuous? The Bible asks the question, a virtuous woman who can find? And then, let us remember preeminently that love and courtship is really a reflection of the relation between Christ and His church. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. May the Lord guide each of us, you young people particularly, wait upon Him. And be true to your convictions. And if you do, you can count upon the Lord to bless you and to prosper you in every relationship of life. May God bless you.